Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the book of the Psalms, and we're up to the 21st Psalm. And this is another royal psalm. The 20th Psalm is referred to as a royal psalm, a psalm of the king. And Psalm 20 and 21, a lot of people think that they should be considered one psalm. But I think it's pretty clear that they are divided up into two psalms. But they are covering a common subject matter. For instance, Psalm 20, it calls upon Yahweh, calls upon the Lord to help in battle. And then as we will see in Psalm 21, the psalmist, who is David, is praising the Lord for the victory that he's given. And so there's a lot of parallels, there's a lot of things that we see in Psalm 21 that David had asked for in Psalm 20. So let's just jump into it and we'll see. Psalm 21 has a title again. It's To the Choir Master, a Psalm of David. So this is written for the chief musician, as the King James says, for the music director. And so David is sending this to him for some point and purpose to be put to music. Otherwise, why would you send it to the chief musician or a choir director? To be sung, to be proclaimed in that way, to be remembered that way, even to such a degree that we're remembering it right now, are we not? So here's verse 1. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. So David is saying from the very beginning, Lord, it's in your strength that I'm rejoicing, okay? And in your salvation, how greatly I exalt. Let me see what the lexicon says. And how greatly he will delight in your help. Yeah, that's it. Instead of salvation, it says in your help, but salvation is help. So he's declaring from the very beginning, Lord, it's in you, okay? Then verse 2. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. Well, remember that being stated in the 20th Psalm about giving him his heart's desire. And David says, you've done it. You've given him the king's heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. And that's a powerful thing. You know, I talked about that a little bit in the previous episode. Do we really take our heart's desire before the Lord? Do we take it before the Lord? Or do we retain them unto ourselves and think that we must work and we must do this, we must do that to attain certain things? What if the Lord wanted just to grant to us our heart's desire? What if we requested? Now, there's a couple of caveats with this. One primary one is this, is that the desire of our heart needs to be the desire of the Most High God. It can't be a desire of selfish motivation, of greed, okay? What we want just for ourselves. It has to be from a heart that is the heart of the Most High God. If we bring that before him, he'll grant it. Maybe not in the timing we want, right? But he'll grant it. And why's that? Well, because it is what he desires to do. So that's what the real question is. Is the desire of my heart the desire of the Father's heart? Or is the desire of my heart selfishness, fleshly, soulish thing? So here David's saying, Lord, thank you. You've given the king himself his heart's desire, and you haven't withheld the request of his lips. Now, verse 3. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He says, you've provided me, Lord. You've given me rich blessings. Oh, listen to the King James. For thou preventest him with blessing of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Yeah, that's a little different type of language right there, isn't it? That idea of preventist, like who, we don't use that word. If we use prevent, we're thinking, oh, you know, we're resisting, we're causing something not to happen. But it literally means this. It literally means that you go in front of, You go before. You meet me there. You confront me there, really. You confront me with rich blessings. You meet me with blessings. Yeah. And then you set a crown of pure gold, of fine gold, upon his head. It's the Lord who had done this for the king. Then in verse 4, David says this, he asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. There's that forever and ever phrase that we keep encountering. So remember how David had asked the Lord to protect him, to give him life, to watch over him? We've seen that in several Psalms. Saw it in the 20th Psalm. Remember that? So now he's saying, you have gave it to me. You have given it to me. The king, I asked life of you. You gave me life. Length of days forever and ever. So is David anticipating living a corporeal existence, the existence of this life in these bodies? Is that what he's talking about? Was he going to live forever and ever like that, he thought? No. He knew that his days were numbered, but he knows that God is the one that knows the number. All of us are like that. The Lord knows down to the very last breath, but he's the only one who does know. But it's echoes of a covenant that's been made. The length of days forever and ever, that the length of days that he has, yes, consists of this fleshly, corporeal existence, but then goes beyond that, goes beyond this existence, and that goes on and on and on forever, forever and ever. So he says, you know what, the king, I asked life of you, and you gave it to me, and not only just life here, but length of days forever and ever, length of days that go beyond this point in time of existence. You know, I think we do well, guys, to really reflect upon that, to think upon that. It really has an impact in a lot of ways. We never really die. Okay, now, yeah, our bodies expire, but all that is a transitioning of that which is us, our spirit, into eternity. And all humans experience that, okay? All humans do. So nobody really dies. We transition from this body. So if you mean that somebody's died and you mean their body expired, that's accurate. That's correct. If you mean they died and they no longer exist anymore, they've been annihilated, then that's not correct. Those who are believers, we know that when we leave his body right here, we're going to be present with the Most High God. Those who are unbelievers will ultimately be separated from the Most High God forever and forever. Yeah, but they still exist forever and ever. The days are still forever and ever. Yeah, you start thinking about that, and there is there's a certain degree of somberness there involved with that. There's a certain degree of humility involved. There's a degree of thanks if you're saved. There's a degree of really motivation of wanting to speak the truth to those who aren't saved, to where they will know, hey, you can have an existence in the presence of the Most High God forever and ever. Life abundantly, as the Lord describes it. Or if you don't, you're going to have life, but the only abundance you're going to have is an abundance of pain, an abundance of separation, all the things you see about the lake of fire and about the darkness and the torment that is there for all eternity, for the length of days, forever and ever. Yeah, think about that. We'll pick this up in the next episode. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.